Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip. I nearly forgot what it was called then. I've only been doing this for about 5 years now. Shows you what a couple of weeks off does. I nearly forgot the name of it. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Thursday, the 7th of March. I can get the date right now. Don't know what I'm recording. Brilliant. Good morning, all. Hope you're well. This is going to be, since we built the new website and started pods and categorizing them, this is going to be the first one that will go under general and mindset at the same time, basically because I haven't got time to record two. So I'm going to get a few general bits out of the way. And then if you don't want to listen to any of that, there'll be a little bit of, and it's going to be casual mindset stuff. This is really his response to questions. I'm going to cover what we call shit the bed syndrome. Or what I call shit the bed syndrome. I don't think there's a scientific syndrome called shit the bed, but I'm going to call it shit the bed syndrome. It's a phrase I use a lot. Oh, they shit the bed. When people, I'd call, use it on the golf course, everything, when people tend to what I call bottle it. Some people call it bottle, some people call it panic. I say you shit the bed. But let's just cover a few general bits first. First, thank you everybody for the support for the dog. She's still not right. I think I said it the other day. I think the plant eating was a bit of a dummy. It seems it's neurological. So I'm at the stage now where I'm having a sleep with her because she just cannot be. If she tried to jump off anything or whatever, she's just going to land flat. It can be, I mean, it's desperate to watch, but obviously there's times when you look at it and it makes you chuckle. She sort of just appears like a dog out of Wetherspoons. If Wetherspoons want a dog for their adverts, I've got one here. Bless her. But hopefully we can get it sorted. My worry is that it is a brain tumour, which obviously, funnily enough, our first Staffy, that's eventually what killed her, but Izzy is far too young, and I do hope that it isn't that. But we will all will be revealed over time. But life, I'm sitting with her all the time, but life does go on. I did some Zooms and things yesterday. She perked up to a Scottish accent yesterday. I have to say, I had a Zoom with a Scottish FTS member, and when he started speaking and his accent came through the speakers, it's the most perked up she's been in the last couple of days. So. Darren or Gramp jump on that for the Scottish Tourist Board. There you are, that the Scottish accent helps dogs. There you go. It was the brightest she's looked since I've been home. But yeah, thank you for all that. As I say, it's taking a bit of my time, but life goes on. I stand by. I will be on a live this weekend and pods and things will continue. Right, where are we? Right, so a couple of bits have gone out this week. My first thing is Cheltenham. Andy is going to provide his knowledge again this year. Andy Richmond, full-time trader, for those of you who don't know him, contributes to the newsletter in the NFL and racing. Absolutely superb at what he does, knows his stuff, etc., etc. And Andy is going to provide us with his insights for all 5 days. An email has gone out about that. There'll be a couple of other emails. If you haven't seen that and you want to jump on Andy's knowledge for Cheltenham, drop an email to support and they'll make sure that you get the information. But we'll be doing a preview Q&A on Monday night as part of that, and then we'll be doing, Andy will be providing write-ups every day of all the races and trading tips and hints and any horses that he sees as standouts, and we'll be doing a morning brunch every day, a live video running through the card of that day, and I think it probably gives those of you who haven't got a clue your best chance of profiting at Cheltenham. I will be doing my live blog. I'm going down to Devon. We're taking the dog with us down in Devon because Sam's brother's not been well. As I've covered before. So I'll be driving down after the Tuesday brunch to Devon. But I will be doing a live blog. I'll be putting my horses up on the website as I've done for whatever the last 10, 15 years. I think we've only had one losing year. I won't I won't be able to watch every race this year because of us being down there and going to visit Sam's brother and things, but I will I'll keep the results going and that'll go up every day. So if you want Andy's stuff, either respond to the emails, look out for it. You need to sign up by Sunday. Monday night will be the Q&A. That will be recorded. If you've signed up and you can't make it, you'll still be able to access that video, you know, before racing Tuesday, and all the brunch links will be sent out to people who've signed up, and that will oh, excuse me, I'm just gonna sneeze now. There you go. Live TV. Oh dear, they will all be recorded. So if you can't make them at 10:30 in the morning, you will be able to watch them. You know, if you wanted to watch them at 1 before the racing starts or half 12 in your lunch hour, whatever, you will be able to. And obviously you could skip through bits and get to the bits where Andy shares what he fancies for that day. So that is Cheltenham. Second thing is the free bet. An email has gone out to people about free bet bank builder, bank booster. Just when, since we've started putting free bets in the newsletter that goes out every Friday, you know, that'll continue. Mark's had a lot of individual queries on people wanting help and things, and it is a good way to get risk-free money and build it up. So Mark's decided that he try and formalize that. So he's going to take a small group of people initially, with the view of a guaranteed £1,000 to £1,500 using these free bet strategies. You know, the idea being that if you want to then put that into a bank for FTS Advanced or whatever, in the future, that we help you build that bank. That will be all be done by Telegram. Mark will start that on Sunday, Monday. Obviously, Cheltenham, there'll be some offers. It is all about taking care of, taking advantage of bookie offers. A lot of it won't be shop stuff. It will be online stuff. You know, unless you've been completely, utterly smashed, there'll be stuff that you can do for that. So an email has gone out on that. That is limited at the minute because I don't know, or we don't know, how much time it's going to take for Mark to deal with people. So basically, if you've never done it before, you're welcome. If you've done it to a degree before, you're welcome. You'll know yourself if you're completely gubbed. But if you do want into that, that will literally be closed. That, you know, we're going to close that again Sunday, and that will be it. Until we see it, you know, maybe something that we look at down the line. But you know what we can't do. I spend a lot of time dealing with people. Is Mark won't. He does it himself. He's not a full-time trader. He's not going to be able to deal with hundreds of queries. You know, it's something small that we just want to see how it goes and hopefully help a few people. As I say, in effect, whilst you do, there's a small cost for it. The idea is that you make £1,000 to £1,500 over the next 12 months, which is damn sight more than the Chancellor gave you yesterday, all these robbing bastards over the last 10, 15 years. Get that one in. Golf, I've not, just because of the dog, I've not been able to really look at it, but I plan to get the golf going again probably after next week. I'll probably look at that in the build up to the Masters. The newsletter will continue. You know, I'm going to put stuff in the newsletter, live shows, podcasts, blogs, and I've got some other new bits that I will be introducing to various groups of FTS over the next few weeks, as I sort of get together with Dave and Alistair, to sort of get it all sorted so that we can help you. But as I say, just bear with me, please, for the moment. You've all been fantastic, just time-wise, with the dog. Obviously, if she has to go for treatments and things, I need to pop in the car and take her off and do these things. And I need to, she's looking at me now, watch her 24/7, you little menace, don't I? Bless you. Right, shit the bed syndrome. Let's get into that now. So, I think I said in the podcast the other day, whatever day I did it, Monday, Tuesday. It's quite often a question I've sort of been asked, and in different, the question gets worded in different ways, sent in the ways. Most people want to know basically how do you win? And a lot of it boils down to people say, like, what's the one thing I could do? Or what do you think I should do? What's the two things I could do? I've done thousands of Zooms since COVID, with different people, and we get to these sort of topics in a roundabout way. And it sort of comes down to people wanting that sort of one thing. What's the one thing I could do that's going to make me win money? 99.9% of people who start gambling dive into it purely with a money first sort of thought and no other thing. So that tends to be where everybody starts. And it doesn't matter whether they've come from match betting, they went into match betting to make money, or they're just a general punter. 99% of people who, want to get into this field do it to make money, and they think it is quick money. They perhaps see it as a bit of a buzz, and that tends to be the starting ground. It's a really piss poor starting ground, unfortunately. And when you want to help people, that's sort of what you're trying to battle against. That it isn't like that. I've again, in these sort of emails, I was having a little scout through queries this morning that people have sent me over time. And I actually found some notes from a blog post of 2013 I wrote. It's not on the website anymore because the website's changed since then. But I talked much about this, about what is it that causes people to lose, and what is it that causes people to win, in effect. And obviously the losers far outweigh the winners. One of the phrases I've used in the past, and people have criticised me for it, is saying actually this game is easy. It is easy if you can get yourself to a situation where you do it properly. It becomes easy. Getting there is the hard bit. That's the problem, because people don't tend to get there. And there's lots of people that I talk to who have done it for quite a long time. And they trade and they go up and down. And in effect, as it boils down, they lose. And it's not fortunes, but it just tends to not go anywhere. And they're probably just losing the commission as they're just dribbling bits away over time. Ultimately, you need to get three or four strategies that have a small edge. You don't need a massive edge, and that's one of the things that problems that people have, is they look for things that they think will win massively. That, you know, that attraction of 500 points, this, that, and the other. You need three or four things with a small edge. You need to execute them absolutely meticulously and religiously. And you need to tweak them when they need to be tweaked, because not everything lasts forever. But tweaking it doesn't mean abandoning it. It means tweaking it. So it may be, for example, changing a league or changing price brackets or having a look. It can often be just a smaller thing as that. Unfortunately, most people don't get to that stage of having three or four things, executing them meticulously and tweaking it, because they shit the bed. And what do I mean by that is, the minute that something turns against them, they bail out, shit the bed, bail out, and go and find something else. I will tell you now, and I've said this religiously again for God knows how long, if you keep system hopping and changing, you will never, ever, ever win. If you rely solely on other people for tips, like tipsters on Twitter, this, that, and the other, you will never, ever, ever win. 99% of those people are on affiliate money, and they're looking to make money that out of that, and in effect, out of your losses. They do not care if you win or lose. If you get into a strategy of going about it the right way, then you have every chance of winning. But most people, at the slight hint of a downturn, shit the bed. And that is the problem. And the reason they shit the bed, many reasons, 99% of the time, I'm using 99% of the time, I mean, it is just a generic number. A lot of the time, it is obviously the money side of it. So people have perhaps seen something win, increase their stakes too much, and then all of a sudden hit a downturn, and that money starts evaporating, and it causes them, fucking hell, what's going on here? That isn't money issue. It is a lack of preparation issue. It is not having a bank set up properly. It is not understanding what you're involved in. It is not understanding strike rates, risk reward, and percentage. You have to take risks to make money in this game. What you've got to do is tailor those risks to what is acceptable to you and set yourself up accordingly around that risk bracket. So for me, I used to love doing big priced horses, had a lot more risk, a lot more losing runs. People who spoke to me in 2012, remember I put some details up of a run of horses, and I think it had 28 losers on the trot. That's the sort of horses I was doing back then. And I asked a room full of people who would be doing this, and not one hand went up. Because they couldn't stomach 28 losers. And I've mentioned again before, there's a Harvard study somewhere. I could not find it, because I'm talking about 17 years ago when I'd looked at it, of they found that no matter what the activity, so whether it was playing cards, blackjack, roulette, if people encountered eight losses, they invariably by then had given up. Most people didn't get to eight. Eight was sort of where the maximum that people got to before they gave up, no matter the activity. When we look at our longest losing run table, and all this ties in with the mindset stuff we've done, you can expect eight losses betting at even money. So when you're betting at odds like 28 to 1 or 10 to 1, then you're going to have much bigger losing runs than eight. And if you're going into it thinking, well, I'm going to give up after two, three losers, I'm going to shit the bed, this guy's crap, or whatever it may be, you've got no chance. And it doesn't matter what it is. I put up a couple of late goals at the weekend, one winner, one loser. People ask me how I do it. I have a criteria for matches for late goals. The average number of late goals, 80 minutes onwards, I'm going to class as a late goal. 80 minutes onwards is the strike rate for that. For a late goal in a match, irrespective of anything else, the strike rate is about 41, 42% across all of football. Nobody is hitting 70, 80, 90% of late goals after 80 minutes. Not a person on the earth. Don't care what they tell you. Don't care whether it's Psykoff, Peter Webb, whatever other services are out there, nobody is hitting late goals at 70, 80% because it cannot be done. You could have a purple patch of 70, 80%. So I might have seven winners out of 10, and that's 70%. But over the long term, it is impossible for anyone to have a winning run of 70, 80%. But when you put a late goal, and it's one of the reasons I've kind of stood back from sharing stuff a bit more like that, because people do not understand. So you put a couple up and people, well, that's crap, you didn't there. If you follow my late goals over eternity, you are going to have a strike rate round about 55, sometimes up to 60%, depending on what method I'm using. Which makes you a nice bit of money because we're far outperforming what normally happens. And there's little bits that we can do to build that model to make that happen. But it has bad runs, of course it does. But we're talking about over a long period of time. And it's quite time intensive because obviously you've got to get to 70, 80 minutes, see prices, see score lines, see whatever's going on, see pre-match odds, all the things that I need to get to make that decision of entering that match. And when you do it and then you share it and people are bitching after two or three losers, you kind of think, well, fuck that, I won't be bothering with that. But that is purely understanding. So there's a fine example of understanding what actually happens in football, what you're capable of, and if you can get to 50, 55%, you're going to do quite well, and what would be involved, what sort of runs would be involved. Now, all those things would happen, but most people would go, a late goal service, five losers, oh, I'm off. They've done 500 quid because they thought, I'll dive in here, 100 quid, easy money, done 500 quid. What have they done? They've shit the bed. They've shit the bed because they've got no understanding. That's the key to it. If you're watching every single game of football with on edge, sort of on edge that this must win or this must lose or goal's got to go in and you're getting anxious, then you need to fix you. It's not the football's fault. You need to fix you. And unfortunately, that is a lot of what people do. And funnily enough, one of the guys I'm away with, he likes a bet on the football and he does Accas and stuff like that. So just does it for fun. But I just said to him, I don't, he doesn't win. I said, why don't you just do that thing that Soccer Saturday, what is it, the Super Six thing? I don't. If you want the buzz of just following a few scores on a Saturday, and the chance to win, what is it, 250 grand or something like that, they put up. I don't do it, but I've seen it advertised. Why don't you just do that? Why don't you just pick whatever they ask you to do? I think it's six correct scores. Is it something like that? Why don't you just do that? You can follow the games, follow the goals going in, with a chance of winning 250 grand, right? And leave the punting side out of it. And that's what I say when I say it's easy, it is easy if you go about and apply yourself. And I've got people now, particularly over the last few years, probably since COVID, where we discovered things like Zoom and you can liaise with people who have completely turned their punting around. I don't give these two people any credit. If you go back and listen to every podcast, I've pretty much done nothing but bash these two people for 5 years. But in Kevin and Suggsy, there's two people there now who shit the bed over the years. That's exactly what they've done. Bet too big, bet too much, try to do too much. Both of them now, and I don't speak to them anything like I used to because I don't need to now. They're both mates of mine. I've become mates of mine through FTS. I've played a little bit of golf with them, but I used to speak to Suggsy nearly every day. Now I can't even remember the last time I spoke to him, because I don't need to. It's fucking great for my mental health, by the way. So you give him a compliment, take away. Mass great for my mental health. But both of them now have methods that they operate that are making them money, steadily making money. And I'm gonna insult him again. I'm telling you now, if Suggsy can do it, anyone can fucking do it. But I do give him credit that he's been through that phase of shit in the bed. He sort of stood there and we've worked together and we've looked and try this, try that. And it's finding what actually suits him and then the execution of that. And I cannot fault those two lads genuinely. They get up every single day, Suggsy earlier than Kev because Kev still hasn't worked out how an alarm clock works. They get up every single day. They go through a process now. They've got a WhatsApp group which I'm in with them, so I see that everything is being done. I don't really post in it. I just, everything comes done. They go through the process every single match day of what they're doing. They put their bets on. They execute it. And where they used to shit the bed about bad runs, and Suggsy was always one, oh, I ain't going very well, And I get that. It's easy, particularly if you want to make money and that you go, oh, I don't get any of that now. And I give them both, first time publicly, I've not told them I'm going to do this. This will be the first time they're hearing it. I give them both maximum credit for that. I have given, Kevin credit for doing the Kevin Kelly method, and we've done that video. But I give them both credit for that, that my mental health is better because I don't have to fucking speak to them every single day and listen to the bollocks. And they've both gone on. And I want nothing more than both of them just to grow that now and do it. And that's where they're getting to, which is absolutely fantastic. And I'll repeat it. If Suggsy can do it, any one of you can do it. But you do have to go through that bit of pain because you've got to understand the game first. So that takes a bit of time. Actually understanding what you're doing rather than, say, diving in just for money. You've got to stop that shit the bed syndrome where the first fucking abject sign of things going wrong, you're out and you go and do something else. And, I look at things that we've done over the year. I look at the Steve Williamson thing. It just takes work. All it does, Steve's thing is a pre-race trading thing. All it does is take work. But it's been a great episode in people give up. I'd say over 90% of the people who took Steve's course aren't doing it now. Not through Steve's fault, purely because they haven't got the bottle for it, haven't got the stomach for it, they've shit the bed. And it's been a great insight into human behaviour, just things like golden rule, don't let your trade go in play, and people coming on, da, 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 da. Yeah, well, and I let that one go in play because I thought, what do you mean you let it go in play? Because I thought, what did you think? I don't know what you thought, and I really struggle with it. And then they have a couple of losses. What do? They shit the bed. They, oh, it's not for me. It's not for, it is for you. You just need to work at it. And I think the bottom line with any of this, whatever you choose to do, be it Peter Webb's pre-race trading, be it in-play horse trading, be it scalping cricket matches, tennis, laying people who've had a break. I don't know. I don't do tennis. Whatever it may be, football betting, whatever. If you just step back, go, what am I trying to do there? And you stop packing up and shitting the bed and getting out when things are going wrong. I spoke to the guy, one of the guys I spoke to yesterday, his stakes was up to 200. He said, I haven't heard your podcast. He said, but I'm going to tell you now, one of the reasons was I got what you're going to call shit the bed syndrome. He got up to £200. Obviously, now you've got to look at what you're doing. What are you betting for £200? If you've built it up, but if you're laying first half goals or laying the draw and you've got £1,000 risk, and that is putting goes up £1,000 red, lay the draw at five, got a thousand, oh, sorry, lay the draw at six, I've got £1,000 red straight away on the screen. Nothing's happened, game hasn't kicked off, but I've got that red number there. If that is causing you grief or angst, you probably shouldn't be doing it. The likelihood is, of course, I say to people, that's not at risk. The £1,000 isn't at risk because you can control that anytime. You can come in, you can come out, you can reduce that loss, and can control it. The only time you couldn't control it was if the market suspended for 90 minutes and it finished nil-nil, which you couldn't do anything about. Betfair, I've had those situations happen to me. They are once in an absolute blue moon. And I think whatever you do in this game, you're going to make ricks, you're going to make mistakes, bad things are going to happen now and then. You know, you're going to see everything if you do it over a period of time. But you've got to set yourself up properly, know exactly what you're doing, know exactly what's involved. And, you know, I go back to that 2013 pod. One of the things I stressed in a blog post, it was one of the things I've got in my notes. It is all mathematics. That is all it is. And the bottom line is people do not understand the mathematics. Because they don't understand the mathematics, they don't set them up themselves up properly. And then the first sign of things going a little bit downhill, which is perfectly normal in line with things, they shit the bed and move on to something else. And all the while, the people who will lose constantly are the people who system hop and change what they do, the people who stick to things. And if I go back to the summer school in 2021, where we talked about 100 days, Kevin Kelly's method started with him doing 100 days, carrying it on. He's probably up to day 800 now. I see somebody on Twitter the other day trying to get people to do things for 30 days. So, you know, I've got no problem with that. I think 30 days is probably a bit too short. But it's a starting block. I mean, like, some people don't do the same thing for 2 days, so it is a starting block. But literally saying, you know, and a lot of people, I keep telling, we've got to start again. We've got to go back and go, right, what do you want to do? Well, oh, I don't want to start again. But you have to. What do you want to do? What suits you? What have you got time to do? What financially can you cope with? Right, let's do this right now. Do it for 100 days. Oh yeah, I had to do this and I had to go shopping and I missed that day and I had four losers, so I didn't want to do that on the next one, and all that. Well, right, okay. So we got to start again. Well, no, we have, because you fucked it. You've shit the bed. We've got to start again. That's the only way this works. It is the only way that it works. Is that you have to start again until you can commit to doing this process repeatedly, day in, day out, and it is boring. Every day while I was away, I did my process. The people who get stuff off me got it every single day. I was staying up till 11 o'clock at night. I mean, people have, you know, Shazwad said, no way you were going to bed now. I was knackered, absolutely knackered. And sitting up till 11 o'clock at night, which was 7 o'clock here, I found really difficult. Twice I went to bed at 9:30 and set my alarm to 10:45 to literally grab an hour's kip to get up and do my process. It's boring. I don't want to do it while I'm away, but I have to do it. One, I've got a commitment to other people, but I have to do it for myself as well. I put a lot of automation on. I was getting up then in the morning at 6, 7 o'clock because the results were in from the previous day. You know, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon here. Alistair had done the results to update all my results sheets. So I kind of had a routine while I was away, get the football done at 11 o'clock at night, go to sleep, get up and do the results. I was absolutely knackered, genuinely. I've never been so tired in all my life. I 8 rounds of golf in 9 days, getting up, going for breakfast. Like old people, when I did this in 2015, I was up till 11, 12, loving it, having a few beers. I couldn't wait for my bed. It was flipping great. I was getting up. Oh, that doesn't work today. That doesn't move. And it wasn't until you had a bit of breakfast, went out and hit some balls, I got going again. But that's what you do. That is, if you want to do this, that's what you do. I wasn't going to go on a break in the middle of February when there's a load of football on and say I'm not going to do anything for 3 weeks. That'd have been the option. But would I have done it if I didn't have people to think of? Maybe, but I doubt it because it's just in me. It's just a process that I do. So I just get on and do it. And it is boring. But once you do it, it just becomes robotic. You get a day like today, there's no football on. I'm like, shit, I don't know what to do because my routine gets broken. But until you settle on what that is for you, the likelihood is you will always lose. And it does come down with things like expectation. Well, know what your expectations are, and that comes from understanding numbers, longest losing run, risk management, and then it is that just that develop a strategy. And the bit I say is easy, there's tons of stuff that wins. Yes, it might need tweaking over time. You know, at the moment, what was the league? The Spanish Primera is having goals. What is it? I'm just going to get it up. Let's have a look. I don't know the numbers because I didn't look at this before I recorded this. So it's averaging 2.65 goals per game. It seems absolutely horrendous, the Spanish Primera for goals. You go back to the sort of Buzz Ronaldo and Messi years, and it was up 2.7, 2.8, 2.9, because they've taken 100 goals out of the league, basically. Them two packing up over time has taken like 100 goals out of the league. So you tend to think, oh wow, it's gone. But it just little things sometimes need a little tweak. 2016-17, 2.94 goals per game. We're talking peak Ronaldo Messi. When Ronaldo went over to Juve, the numbers changed. It's never been a three-plus goal league, but you look at it and go, wow, if you're trying to back goals in Spain this year, it's really hard. You've got two choices, give up or tweak it. And certain things need a tweak, but they don't need tweaking every week. I'll have a look again in the international break that's coming up. I'll leave everything then till the end of the season. A lot of the time I have a look at things and leave it because you don't want a knee-jerk reaction. You need to try and understand what's happening in football, and you do that. We've got all the data that you could ever need to do that. Over time, it's so easy now using our stuff to find these, see the patterns, see the trends. Nothing changes that dramatically. Absolutely mad goals in the Premier League this season. Mad goals. It won't continue. And only thing, two things can happen. If it does continue, you will be back in over 2.5 at short prices. So you need to tweak what you do, because obviously what you might be doing is looking to bet over 1.8 in the Premier League, and not many games are going to be over 1.8 because all of a sudden everybody's scoring millions of goals. Sheffield United are, and calm yourselves down, Arsenal fans. They've lost 5-0, 5-0 the game before, but they're like whipping boys. People are telling me, and I've only seen them play Spurs, they're the worst team they've seen in the Premier League. Again, that might be a bit of recency bias, but it's a mad year for goals in the Premier League. Absolutely mental. I look at it and go, educated, it won't continue. But if it does continue, I would tweak if I was betting in that league and betting unders or betting over 2.5 in certain price bands. I would have to tweak the way I did it. And I'd do that logically, but you've got to build a couple of strategies. And I've given you loads of strategies over the years on FTS, the 1.5 after 20 minutes, first half 1.5, late first half goals, how to bet over 2.5 goals in numerous different methods, lay the draw. There's tons of stuff. 3.25 goals for the Premier League this year currently. Per game, absolutely mad compared to 2.85 goals, nearly half a goal a game more. It can't continue. We might have a couple of years of it, but it will settle back down again. And I don't try and identify the reason for it. Is it teams? You never know. You'll never be able to factually go, it's that reason. Is it, because teams are trying to play out from the back and making more gaffes? Maybe. It can't be Haaland because he's missed half the season. Salah doesn't seem to be scoring anything like he did. So it's not like, well, you're looking at a Messi, Ronaldo, two players adding. Last year it was Haaland and we only averaged 2.85 and the guy was scoring for fun. So I don't go into the too much of that. I look at what's happening with my strategy, what's happening in the market with prices, what can I do? A lot of what I work on now for me, and I'm going to share with people, I've shared some with people that I work with, and is reducing the variance. How can I make this as smooth a ride as possible? Because the smoother ride you've got, the less likely the hitters panic and shitting the bed. So there you go, shit the bed syndrome. That's why people give up. But if people are asking what can I do? First thing for me, it will always start with expectation. Why are you doing it, and what's your expectation? And getting a grip of that, understanding your risk reward, accepting that you've got to take risk to make money at this game. But if you're taking that risk and it's making you nervous all the time, it probably isn't for you at that level. And then getting a strategy and just executing it. And I'd get two or three strategies if you can. Again, people try and do everything. You don't need to do everything. Either get one and really stick at it, but understand the expectation then of one strategy may not, because if you've got two or three, one could have a bad day and the other two have a good day. If you've got one and it has a bad day, that's it. But you've got to really stick at it. And I go back to Kevin Kelly, one strategy, 800 odd days, fantastic. Never veered from it. Brilliant. And people go, when we did that YouTube, amazing. What, have you tried it with this? No, he's got his strategy. He doesn't need you to tweak it for him. He's told you what it is. You want to tweak it because you're an idiot, you carry on. But it's a finding what suits you, sticking with it, accepting then that it will have a bad run at some time. And when it has that bad run, you do not shit the bed. Shit the bed will take numerous things. It'll be give up altogether and go and do something else. Change it, lower your stakes, whatever it may be. But if you get out of that habit, if you get out of it and go, Ian, I've listened to your words. I'm not going to shit the bed. I'm going to develop that. You've got a lot more chance. Over the live sessions as we move forward, I want to cover a lot more of this stuff. You know, we've got strategies out there that I share with you. We can look into them a bit more. You know, your stuff in the newsletter that goes out, first half 1.5 over 2.5. How many people did that week? We had 10 out of 10 over 2.5. They'll have dived in the next week. It didn't do so well. Not every game's going to win. It's impossible. But you've got a strategy to execute on those games. If you're not making profit, you are doing it wrong. And we need to look at that and why. But over, if I publish those games forevermore, people will make money. It's an absolute fact. But it's just executing that. But if you do it one way, oh, you had 10 winners last week, I'm doing it hard. I had 4 lose, but I ain't doing that anymore. They're crap. And then you go and do something else completely different. You have absolutely no chance. And I've been really consistent with this theme. If you always give up when you are losing, you will always lose. If you do not accept it as part of what you do and you shit the bed and move on, you've got absolutely no chance. Genuinely, you may as well. You just stop. Just stop what you're doing. Right, I'm going to leave you with that. Lovely. Hope you have a lovely, what is it, Thursday? Don't forget Andy's Cheltenham stuff. Get involved if you want to. Great week. I know there's been a lot of aggro with the build-up to racing, the quality of jumps racing in Britain, Constitution Hill's not running, the Irish do dominate, and all that. And there's loads of things that people do to change Cheltenham. It has got ridiculously priced. I see kids being priced, you know, full price with children over 4. 5 and over, I think, full price ticket, absolutely ridiculous. I know kids are at school, but if you did want to take your kids, absolutely ridiculous. Price of beer is ridiculous. Price of entry is ridiculous. They let in far too many people now. You know, it's not something I used to go. I just don't enjoy it. The last time I went, I walked out because it was just too busy. You couldn't get bet on. You couldn't get beer properly. But as a spectacle of racing, it still will be a great 5 days and we'll enjoy it. And Andy will guide you. And if you want to do that bank booster, this isn't a hard sell. I'm telling you, we will only be taking a small number of people because this is all going to be new. I don't do it, but we're not going to overload what we're trying to do. We want to try and get people, well, we're guaranteeing that people will make 1,000, 1,500 quid if they follow the advice, but we don't want to have, you know, 100 sort of support questions on what to do. We want to make sure that we can run it properly, and that may get opened up again, it may not, it literally will see how it is. But if you want to take part in that, particularly if you're fairly new to punting or you're looking to get a little bank behind you, get involved in that, because that will, you know, we've seen from the newsletter, this stuff makes money over time. Okay, have a lovely Thursday. I'll probably be back with you Saturday. I don't know when I'll do the live, all depends on the mutt. But there will definitely be a live session this week and things will start to return to normal. Have a lovely little Thursday.